Good morning. I may not have been the face you were expecting this morning. Our brother Tyler is out of town visiting his family for the weekend, and with the extended holiday weekend, wanted to give him time away with his family in Roanoke, and also to give him some extra time to prepare for the series on the prophets. And so I'm glad to allow him to do that. So it's fallen to me to teach Sunday school this week, and wasn't certain, didn't want to start a new series or anything, just wanted a one-off, and prayed, sought the Lord, seeking wisdom about what might be helpful, what might be an encouragement to us as a body. And as you see by the title here, we're going to be considering this morning what I'm calling a method for prayer, some practical directions for cultivating communion with God. And I chose that title very specifically, the title and the subtitle. I hesitate anymore to use titles like the biblical methodology of prayer or the biblical way of whatever, parenting or whatever. Not because I don't think the Bible has specific things to say and principles to give us, but that it's not nearly as clear in every case, in every circumstance, as I once thought it was, that there was a certain way, if you would just apply that way and do it this way, then everything else would work out just fine. So I've specifically chosen a method for prayer. But this isn't just prayer. It's, as you can see by the subtitle, it is a practical, some practical directives on cultivating not just prayer, but communion with God. And I'm going to talk about prayer not just as supplications and asking things and getting God to do stuff for us, which we need him to do anything that is to be done for us as we are dependent on him. But this has to do with communion with God in prayer, not thinking of some of these other components as separate. Some of this you've heard before, and we're going to look at a little bit at Acts, A-C-T-S again, but that's not all we're going to look at this morning. What I'm going to do is, let me give you these points first of all. What we're looking at, and what a lot of this is really born out of this morning, is the reality of, if I took a poll, I would be surprised if I took a poll, honest, Judgment Day honesty poll, how many of you are satisfied with your prayer life and your communion with God? Don't raise your hands. It's a rhetorical question. And I'm not asking the question, could any of you pray more? Because we can always pray more. We can always cultivate more communion. But would you be, in your own assessment, considered a person who communes with God? Would you judge that of yourself? Would you say that you are, by and large, a man, a woman of prayer? And, you know, we might hesitate because of humility, false humility or true humility or something else, to put such a label, because somehow it sounds boasting, but yet we have biblical writers who write about themselves and about other people and say things about themselves like, I always earnestly pray for you in every remembrance of you always giving thanksgiving to the Lord. Well, now, Paul, that doesn't seem very humble to say that you're always praying and you're always giving. Well, I think it was both humble and true. And so if we took kind of a self-reflection based on what we know about prayer, how many books we've read on prayer, how convicted we are that prayer is important, how we know and have heard conferences and teachings and read books and discussed and feel guilt and at times shame and even lack of perseverance. Some of us have come out of the blocks after a new book or a new sermon on prayer, new teaching, and we come out saying, this is it, this is my breakthrough, and I'm going to really be a person of prayer. And many of us get discouraged over and over and over with the reality of a sense of failure, guilt, and even just lack of perseverance. So if that's descriptive of you, you know what the Bible says, you know how important it should be, but you continue to struggle to describe yourself as a person of prayer, a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, even struggling with guilt. And again, I'm not asking, could we pray more, but just, are you a person of prayer? Will our prayers vindicate the reality that we love God, that we know God in the day of judgment? Let me tell you a little bit of who this is for and who this is not for. This is not for those of you whose prayer life is going well. And I took the rhetorical survey, but if you just genuinely say, well, I could pray more, but yeah, I do pray. I do cultivate communion with God. And what I'm doing is working fine for me. And it really, that's not boasting. It's just saying that that's where I am. This is not for you, so if you just want to check out or maybe learn something that you could pass on to somebody else, or if you want to go get a cup of coffee, that's fine. So it's not for you if things are genuinely, and I don't say that all tongue-in-cheek, it's just if it's going well for you, then don't be derailed from that. Be encouraged by that. Thank the Lord for that. Be full of gratitude for that. But who this is for are those that I've already described, like myself, for nearly 30 years of Christian life. I would have to admit, not only was I a man who struggled and had been taught and knew the theology and had read books and read Matthew Henry and read E.M. Bounds and read Spurgeon and read over and over and over and knew what I needed to do, but yet for the majority of my Christian life was just not what I would humbly, honestly call myself a man of prayer. I prayed, not an atheist, I'm not without prayer, but for many years I just... It was a struggle. So if that's you, if that describes you in any way, then perhaps you can glean some things that would be helpful for you this morning. One of the things I'm going to encourage you to consider is an attempt to overcome certain biases that we have about prayer. Somehow that prayer is just necessarily spontaneous, or it's just flows out of love, and sometimes there are those experiences, but to push against the bias against and fear of forms of habits and of discipline. If you hear that and you say that in prayer, just don't intermingle with one another. I want to ask you to put those biases away for just a little while. Consider what I have to say. And we have as a church, and I mean the church universal for over 2,000 years plus the Jewish church, has a long history of habits of prayer, of forms of prayer that many of us as Protestants, because it sounds like something Catholic or it sounds like something rote or formalistic, I think Protestants, we often have allergies against, you know, habits and forms and regularities, and speaking of offices of prayer and frameworks for prayer, or say praying the Lord's Prayer as a regular, ongoing, even multiple times a day, to orient ourselves toward God. We have a nervousness against that because that means formality, that means cold, dead orthodoxy, that means Catholicism or something the rest. I would like for you just to put aside those, if you feel those in your heart, just put those aside and consider the reality that for 2,000 years, God has used forms and habits and disciplines of prayer to bless his church. So this is where the reason that's important to accept discipline and habits and forms of things is the interweaving between form and freedom. And we know this about almost every sphere of life, but somehow when it comes to our spiritual lives, we deal with it as if God does something in this category that he doesn't seem to do anywhere else. For instance, if you want the freedom to play awesome guitar solos, you just want the freedom to riff and be able to play with liberty, you don't start with guitar solos. You typically start with scales and discipline and habits. If you want the form and freedom to write freely on the piano, if you want the ability to artistically draw, you learn a certain set of principles and forms and function of how things work. And it's that form and function that evolves into freedom. And that's the case of almost every area of life. If we want creativity, if we want spontaneity, it's often born out of almost every area of life. Freedom is born out of form most often. And yet again, we try to skip that, go right to freedom. I want to be filled with the Spirit and just pray spontaneously and have that life. And one of the questions I had to ask myself is, well, I want that too. How's that gone so far for me for almost 30 years? How is that waiting on the Spirit and waiting for freedom to just spontaneously happen? And there were times that were happened, but not frequently enough that I would have called myself a man of prayer. And so that's some of what I'm going to be recommending this morning. So here's a brief personal testimony. I've already told you a good bit of it. Is despite teaching, despite many conferences and reading books, and read Tim Keller's book on prayer, read again E.M. Bounds on prayer. Not everything. His work is massive. But after reading, thinking, learning this, still, overall, I would just say I said prayers, I did things, I still, you know, wasn't prayerless, but I just would not have identified myself as a man of prayer. And so that went on until probably maybe about a year ago. Hope none of you are shocked or ready to run out of the auditorium. It was just an honest struggle. And, you know, and there was something familiar about that enough to say, you know, when somebody else talked about struggling with prayer, I'd be like, yeah, I get it too. And I could confess that, and I could engage and say, I lament too. But I wanted more than lament. I wanted to be able to have some success at regularly praying and communing with the Lord in that way. Now, I don't want to give the impression that I didn't have daily devotions, because rarely in almost 30 years did I not read my Bible. But for me, it was just way easier and way more accessible and more interesting, and the wheels were just greased to study the Bible. I just love reading, and I just love studying the Bible, love thinking. But when it came to that time of, okay, now I need to pray, it suddenly I lost my mind, or I got distracted, or suddenly other things were calling me. And again, this is almost 30 years of that. I would still pray. I had prayer lists. I have prayer books. I've gone through different things, but none of those sustained me for very long. I would be like the person I mentioned here, a lack of perseverance. I would do it, it would go up, and it would go down. For the first time in 30 years, I've had it go up and being sustained over multiple months now, maybe a year. And that's what I want to share with you, what the Lord has used in my life for that. And I want to emphasize again that this is a method for prayer. It is not the biblical way. This is one possible approach. This may be helpful to some of you. I hope you'll at least try it and think about it, pray about it, pursue it. If not, that you'll continue to pursue until the Lord gives you some sort of breakthrough in this kind of area. All right. So what I'm going to introduce you to this morning is something that I created about... we were at the Ear Foundation, so that would have been, 2-3 years in, so we're 21 years old, 18, 19, 20, so about 18 years ago, 17 years ago, some of you weren't born yet, is a prayer guide that I developed. The bulk of this prayer guide, and it's not the prayer guide itself that's the tool, by the way, so I'm going to introduce you to this, walk you through it, but it's not actually this that itself, because as I said, I developed this 17 years ago, a trifold little brochure. Some of you, how many of you got that like years and years and years ago? Kimberly did. Nobody else? All right. So the bulk of this, I want to give credit to Kenneth Boa, Ken Boa. Forgot the name of, I think it's Reflections Ministry. Out of a little prayer book he had developed, I extracted some things from that, used his book for quite some time, have used it through the years, extracted it and put the principles, some of the framework in that. But that's not even the thing. And I've got a number of these up here. If you feel like you want to give this a go, come up afterwards and I'll have a copy here for you. So this is the front. I developed it, the RBCN prayer guide, Love God, Build the Church, Reach the World. Those are, of course, new since our core values. And I'm going to just walk you through this, but again, this isn't the thing. What I do is I start out with some basic scriptures so you can be nice and convicted that this is something you ought to do. And not just that, but inspired in saying, okay, why am I doing this? And there's some scriptures to kind of get you started there. Now, the bottom section, I've replaced this. This used to be all full of scripture, but I put on the front here half of what has been the breakthrough for me. And let me say that some of you will remember I taught the ACTS back at the hospital the first time, and I've known it for years. I decided to use it. I taught it on, I think, part of the core value series, the ACTS acronym, and taught it then, and it still didn't have the breakthrough. So it wasn't information. So I knew it. I recommended it. I encouraged people to do it, but that still wasn't the thing. So I've still not gotten to what the breakthrough was for me. But this was part of it. This is the framework for it. And so just to remind you, the ACTS, and here on the front of the, are just some prompts. And all of the things, with the exception, you've got the major headings, that's really the framework. Everything else underneath are prompts that you could or could not use. But under adoration, what this is a season of prayer where you're just worshiping. And this is where communion with God comes from. It is putting aside your own sins, putting aside the things that you want, the things that you need, the things that other people are needing, the ways that that you want the Lord to work. And I heard a really interesting comment by Peter Scazzaro with Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Ministries this week. He said, when we talk about waiting for the Lord, we tend to put a phrase after that. So if somebody says, well, what did you do this morning? Well, I was waiting on the Lord. To which we say, to do what? So we almost always put an infinitive phrase after that. I'm waiting on the Lord to heal my marriage. I'm waiting for the Lord to heal my body. I'm waiting for the Lord to save this person. I'm waiting for the Lord to. And it just makes the point that we need to think more first in the area of waiting on the Lord is apart from what we want him to do, but waiting on the Lord is to worship him, to love him for who he is, to think on who God is, his attributes, taking the attribute of the fact that he knows everything and meditating on that and worshiping him. Thank you, God, that you know all things and nothing that I'm going to say in my prayers are you already, are you unknowledgeable about, that none of my burdens are you unaware of. Thank you that in the person of Jesus, you have suffered with the same kind of temptations that I have. And so it's this adoration just for who God is. And that's the first section. Sometimes I'll rotate. One day I'll focus just totally on the Father and just pray to the Father. And what is it the Bible says? And here, the scriptures about, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I'll just worship God, the Father, for sending his Son. Or I'll worship God, the Father, for the plan of redemption. Or the second person of the Trinity, for the Son of God, for becoming human flesh. And so sometimes I'll just rotate through and just one day think of the Father, one day think of the Son, one day just worship the Holy Spirit for who he is and what he has done. And so you can see those are all just prompts. Those are different ways to think in this first season, because you can't do it every day all the time, because we're going to be doing that for eternity. I mean, we should probably get ready. We should get some practice in. Because between adoration and thanksgiving, that's all we're going to do. There's not going to be any more confession in heaven because we're not going to sin anymore. Or there's not going to be any more supplication. So the thing that we are gearing up for to do for eternity, adoration and thanksgiving, are often the things that we're worse at in prayer. We're so busy either confessing or asking for things that we miss out on And there's something like deeply, deeply important about who we are, created in the image of God, God being God, that's crucial, that if we skip adoration and thanksgiving, we're actually just kind of using God, that we're just trying to get forgiveness and we're just trying to get him to do stuff. Well, I mean, how would you like your kids to do that to you? I feel like they do. Mommy, 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 mommy. Okay, you broke that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Mommy, mommy. But it's about adoration. It's about thanksgiving. So that's the first season. We've gone through this before. Confession. Confession can be of original sin. Just the fact that I'm a sinner. Just the fact that I am this. That I'm born fallen in Adam. That I come from the womb corrupt. The second prompt there for actual sins, for known and unknown sins. And then I remember as well, and I've incorporated this since Ashley mentioned it, but not just confession of the wrongs, but confession of who we are, confession in agreeing with God what we are in Christ. So I've tried to implement that. So thank you, Ashley, for because we're confessing not only our failures, but in light of our failures, who we are in Christ. The third category there is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and this is how I think about it. Sometimes I'll just think about spiritual blessings. He who has enriched us with every spiritual blessing, blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But physical blessings. Sometimes I'll sit in my study and I'll just look around. I'll say, God, thank you. I'll look at the picture of my mom and dad and my brother and me. And I'll just thank you for my family. Thank you for the years that I have with my mom. Thank you that my dad's still alive and I can call him. Thank you for sustaining my life, the life of my brother for so many years when he can do so many dangerous things. Look around. Thank God for the books and the resources that I have. I look at old pictures of RBC. My study is both a library, but it's also kind of a museum of my life. And there are artifacts of things that people, and I look up and I see a picture that Kimberly painted of Hannah and a picture that Kimberly drew of a ballerina, a pencil sketch. And I just thank God for the arts and I thank God for beauty. And I've just got all these things. I see a Celtic cross up there and I thank God for Ireland. And they say that in Ireland, there are 5,000 shades of the color green. And you know, I just thank God for the color green. Those of you who know the Rich Mullins song was listening to that this morning. But just think, thankful for spiritual blessings, for good health, that I can breathe, that I have a respiratory system, that I was born with a renal canal, that my body functions well. So there's just so much to be thankful for, and I typically run out of time. So what God is doing, has done, is doing, those are just some prompts. And you start, once the focus is given and the attention is given, and I'm going to talk about how the Lord has done that with me, there's just so many things to be thankful for. And then the last section there then gets into the supplication, which is then moves into the rest of this prayer guide. For those of you who came in a little bit late, that's I'm talking through this prayer guide. So supplication. So at that point, gets into the actual substance. But what has happened then is there's been worship, communion, adoration. And during this time, by the way, I'm not typically, my Bible is there and it's by me, but I already have enough scripture like memorized or thought about or sermons and things like that. I resist going to the Bible and doing a Bible study because, again, that actually diverts me from the thing I'm trying to do in this time of prayer. But having said that, my mind is flooded with scriptures, and if I think, what's that phrase? I might go look at it, but I resist going to the scripture and starting to do my scripture reading or my Bible study because that's not what this is for. It is to commune with God through the Word, through His Spirit. So I'm recalling scriptural truth. So I'm not like making God up in my own image and, you know, worshiping Buddha or something like that. It is saturated with scripture, but it's saturated with scripture that I'm meditating on and that I already know. Like burn down my library, burn my Bible, put me on an island. I probably have sufficient knowledge and information as long as I have my mind to sufficiently worship God for the rest of my life. And not that I don't love my Bible, but take that away from me and I probably have enough to warrant a lot of fuel of thanksgiving and worship of the Lord. And then he keeps adding more through his word, which is amazing. So it is saturated with the word of God. It's not me being a Buddhist or transcendental meditation or anything like that. During this time, I also sometimes use songs, hymns, poems. If I'm in a section where I'm in adoration, a hymn will come to mind and I'll turn up, open to the text and start meditating and thanking God, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. I didn't even know I had that memorized. But right there, immortal. And I just start chewing on that. God, you are the immortal God. You're the only living and true God. Invisible. I can't see you. And And yet you show yourself in all places. God only. God only wise. Lord, I thank you that you've given me your word and your spirit and your people so that I can learn wisdom and so on. So there's sufficient there. So sometimes I'll use poems that come to mind. But again, it's not to study. It's to prompt my heart and engage my heart in worship. A crucial component of this whole process of what I found is having direction, but within direction, having flexibility. Being sensitive to the Spirit's leading of your spirit. And there are times that I'll, based on the method I'm going to share with you, I'll get into the adoration section and I won't get out. I'll just stay there. If I'm particularly aware of sin, I may spend a greater amount of time in confession and lament and in sorrow. If I'm particularly feeling pastoral burdens because of a number of things that are going on, I may just sit and lament and the brokenness of the world and longing for Jesus to return. So I have this general framework that I do day by day, but I'm also sensitive that if the Spirit is prompting me, leading me, giving me burdens, that I'm not like, oh, I can't pray about that because I'm not in that section. It's not that. But when there aren't those prompts, when there aren't those sensitivities and things that are going on, I still have a method by which I just pick up and I go through this. Okay, so that's that. Now let me tell you what for me has been the breakthrough. That's it. That is an app I use. It doesn't matter what app it is. And this is where I'm going to ask you to put aside your biases of habits and forms and things that feel mechanical. This has been literally for me in 30 years of being a pastor and of being a Christian, studying the Bible, reading a lot of books, preaching a lot of sermons. This single thing has been for me the discipline I needed. And it's what I needed. It is the discipline that I personally needed. This is a timer called Seconds Pro. I know it's for Apple. I don't know if but there's tons of things out there, but basically an exercise app. And what you see there are a series of segments. So there's meditation and prayer, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 46 minutes. I'll tell you why that is in a second. 60 minutes and 120 minutes. When it comes my time to do my devotional, and when I get up in the morning, I have already decided how much time I'm going to spend in devotion. And that was one of the things with my schedule, with my flexibility and things like that. You know, I could start, I remember time sitting down when I was a brand new Christian and was in college and working at Office Depot, a relatively new Christian. And I would sit down to do my devotional and I'd have like 3 hours to do my devotional. And I would sit there with my commentaries and Matthew Henry, my Strong's Concordance and my Bible and my Greek interlinear and all this. And I would study for 3 hours or 2 hours and 55 minutes. And suddenly it's like, I got to go to work. I guess I should pray. And then for the last 5 minutes, if I could think of anything, then I would pray. So knowing like how much time do I want to commit to this today? It's not the same every day. Some days I get up and I'll use the 15 minute. Maybe I slept in late because I had a late night. I've got 15 minutes I'm going to dedicate to prayer. Some days it'll be 45 minutes. Some days it'll be an hour. Whatever it is, I determine ahead of time, this is how much. And you know what I'm going to do during that time? I'm not going to check my email. I'm not going to check social media. I'm going to turn my phone off, put it on quiet. I'm not going to receive any texts. I'm going to shut everything off, and I'm going to pull out my prayer stuff, my Bible. It has my prayer stuff in it, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to be praying for, let's say, 30 minutes. And I hit that timer, and then I pray. And that's been the breakthrough. It's intentional. It's purposeful. It's planned. And it has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else. because of the discipline of prayer. Now, let me show you how I break these down then. So, for instance, and there are days I've done 5 minutes, literally. And you need to know, if you go, well, hey, I've never done this before. I've barely prayed over a minute or two without being distracted. I would start with 5 minutes. I would start with 5 minutes. Or if you say, man, I can't even do that and think that I'm a Christian. Well, okay, well, that's up to you. I think you can. But okay, then do 15 minutes. Because we're talking about nothing else other than communion with God. Now, let me make this a point to say this, that I will say that doing this has not tricked me into thinking, well, now I've had my communion with God, now I'm going to go live like the world. This discipline over time has bled its way into the entirety of my life because this is my favorite time of the day. And so another tool that I won't be introducing to today is called the daily offices, which are intentional seasons of or times of prayer that you do throughout the day. It makes me want to do this again in the day. It's so enjoyable and so sweet, and I love this time with the Lord so much that it prompts me to come apart during lunch or before lunch and do this again. If it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes. So this is how I set it up. So what I do is, you'll see there are five segments, not four. You'll see clear, focus, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And for 5 minutes, I've got a minute each. The clear and focus section for me is to sit there, and it's going to sound a little meditative and Buddha-ish to you, but do with it what you will. I try to stop thinking about everything about what I'm doing except for what I'm doing right then. If things come to mind, I have a pad of paper sometimes that I'll use there. If things come to mind, oh, be sure to buy dog food, whatever. I write it down. I tear the sheet off and I throw it on the floor. I don't have to think about it anymore. I don't have to remember it. And every intrusive thought that comes in, oh, you need to make sure to answer that email. Well, if I tuck that back in the back of my brain and try to remember it while I'm doing this, it's going to keep coming out, isn't it? So I'll write it down, throw it down, forget about it. I don't have to worry about it. I'll take care of it, and then when I get done, I'll pick up the sheets of paper and then put them on my to-do list and do what I need to do. But I'm trying to clear and focus. I'm really trying to clear my mind and focus. That's why I shut off all my electronics. That's why I say I'm not going to do it during this time, because I'm dedicating this hour. You know how frustrating it is when you're sitting with somebody at lunch and they're doing this? Uh-huh. Yeah, uh-huh. The Lord probably doesn't feel any less slighted than you do. Lord, I'm here to worship you as soon as I check my numbers of likes on that puzzle we finished last night so I can feel some sense of identity and worth that people are paying attention to my life. Now, I'm going to shut that off. I'm going to put it aside. And Lord, I'm going to put all this, and I want to be with you. So that's what I do for the clear and focus, really try to clear my head. And this isn't emptying my mind of everything. It is filling my mind with the Lord, but to make space for the Lord, I need to empty my mind of everything else that's bothering me, aggravating me, that I'm trying to remember. Okay, so that's the 5 minute segment. The 15 minute segment here, I kick up that clear focus for 2 minutes just because I have the luxury to do that, and then 3 minutes on each section. From there, there's a 30-minute. This is the maximum, and I actually may change this, but usually 2 minutes is enough for me at this point. But because I'm so distracted, because of my personality, because I have 10 things going on, and we talked about this yesterday, some of the men got together and we talked about this, but my brain is so full of other voices, and yes, they talk to me. Sometimes I respond to them. But there's so much of that going on. I've got to get them quiet. I've got to get all of those intrusive thoughts quiet. At this point, I can typically do it in 2 minutes. In the beginning, it really did take about 4 minutes just to settle my heart and my mind down. And then from there on out, you can see the segments for each of the section. And so what I have, and I'll mention this at the bottom, but I don't like buzzers. So when it goes to the next segment, you know, the default was like, ka-ding! Like this really bad digital bell that sounds terrible. Or it's a, you know, I do that for my workouts, you know. But for this, there's a nice Zen gong. Just very nice. And it's a reminder of, hey, when you're ready, you can move into the next section. That's all it is for me. As opposed to, I got to make it. Yes, I finished that section. It's just a gong. Here's moving to the next section. Okay. And often it'll bleed over. I'm kind of not done with this thought yet. And then when I'm ready, I'll transition. What I'm finding is about the time the gong goes off, my heart's already moving into the next section. Like I'm training my heart, I'm training my affections, I'm training my mind to move through this process. So that's the 30 minutes. There's the 46 minutes. If you drop the confession or the clear focus back to 3 minutes, it'd be even 45 minutes. And there's a sample of an hour. So what I did was when I decided to give this a shot, set up my timer. I think I started at 15 minutes, I think. I just need to. So it's like going to the gym. You know, I've been out of the gym for 6 years and now I need to get back. What am I going to do? Well, what you should do is go in there and work out for 2 hours so that tomorrow you can't walk and then you won't go for another week. No, why don't you go in, walk on the treadmill for about 5 minutes, maybe pick up some light weights and just get yourself moving, because you're not trying to accomplish everything that first time. You're gearing your body habitually to get ready to progressively upgrade. It's not quite the term. That's very technological. To progress, to grow. So I think I started with 15 minutes. Like I need 15 minutes of just disciplined, thoughtful, and then from there, I began to move up. So what I found was that gong would go off, and I just feel like I'm not even finished with that section yet. And when the final gong goes off, I'm just like, it's over. And I got to go to work. I got to answer his email. I got to do it. Lord, I can't wait to be with you again. And then I go about my day and I look for another opportunity to do something similar. But that came through for me, habit, discipline, and focus. It just, 29 years. And not that I didn't have times of fellowship with the Lord and times of worship and times, but the most regular consistency for me has been this about past year or so that I've been doing this. Okay, so a couple of things here at the bottom. Choose a time period. Again, say, look at your clock. How much am I committing to? Is it 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes? Shut everything off. Set your timer, or if you use some other. I did think about, I looked on Amazon. You can get, if you want to do, let me see, 10, 20, 30. You can get like 5-minute egg timers or 10-minute or whatever. And you can have that, just turn that over, and that can kind of measure out each of your segments, just whatever works for you. I actually saw a really nice kind of a multi-layer, this really nice hourglass, and that sent me off into this, you know, looking at hourglasses. I thought an hourglass would be so cool in my study, but I'm still sticking with this. It's worked well. Just be sure to put it on airplane mode, because when you're using your timer and it's sitting right there, then it's easy to go, let me just flip over real quickly. But what's also interesting is when you just flip over real quickly, how much time passes by. And you realize, oh, as soon as I get on social media, man, it sucks my time quickly. So that's why I recommend just turning it on airplane mode. Okay, so choose a time period, set the timer, pray for God's blessing, and then go for it. And this is like I mentioned at the gym, this is like exercising your spiritual muscles, your spirit, your affections, and so on. And again, for those of you who came in late, if you already have a prayer life and are flourishing and blooming in that, stay with it. Don't try anything else. Just keep doing that. As I gave introduction at the beginning, it's for those of us who have struggled with a consistent communion with God. Okay, so there's that. Again, I mentioned I use a gong sound as a less jarring prompt to move into the next, an invitation to move into the next section. And let me say, because it comes to mind, I don't do this at this point. I don't do it. Sometimes I intentionally step out and do another thing. For instance, sometimes, the majority of time I'll do this vocally. That also has been like really helpful for me, is to actually vocalize my prayers or at least whisper them. sometimes if I find like that's getting a little stale, I'll pull out my journal and I'll journal. And that really slows me down and limits to what I can focus on. And so I'll switch back and forth between vocal and journaling. I usually don't just sit and think quietly, because what I end up doing is not praying, but just thinking. Any of you have that struggle? Yeah, I'm going to pray about so-and-so. If I don't verbalize it, because the words themselves, I can think about a lot more things than I can say. So the words themselves kind of keep me on track to keep, because my thinking and my attention, if I'm talking, it's like, hey, let's go over here. It's like, I can't, I'm right here. But when I'm not talking and I'm just thinking, as soon as it goes, hey, let's go over here, my mind goes over there. And this guy is saying over here, let's go over here as well. And I can typically juggle 5 to 7 things that are, it's cray cray in there, I can tell you. And maybe that's why this particular method has been helpful for me. It may not be helpful for you, but it may. Because it's focus of attention. It's just not my time to think about other things, to do other things. Okay. Let me walk you quickly. So then what I do, when I get to the ACTS, when I get to the supplication section, so the adoration, you know, you saw the 3 bullet point props under adoration, confession, thanksgiving. When it gets into supplication, I want a little more. Someday I free swim. I'm just like, Lord, please bring to mind whatever you want me to pray about. And I leave it completely open and I pray about the things the Lord brings to my mind. Regularly, because I want to be sure that I'm praying through certain things or about certain people, I'll use these prompts to, again, give me guidance, though I don't feel slavishly like I have to hit every point every time. Sometimes I'll pick a couple of points that I'm burdened about, but these are the daily prompts. And this particularly is developed from Kenneth Boa. I've added a lot of my own stuff. But what I do is in my supplication section, I have things that I pray for myself and then things that I pray for others. So on Mondays, praying for myself, it's probably too small for many of you to see. Again, we've got copies up here. The daily prompts have to do with spiritual growth, my own growth. I've tried to put a lot of scripture in here. I don't have it covering every category. But spiritual growth, so Psalm 1:3, talking about those who are planted by the rivers of water. John 15, abiding in me, and my word abiding in you. 2 Peter 3:18. Therefore, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Greater love and commitment to the Lord, sensitivity to and hatred for my sin. And then I pray for my activities of the day. And then I may grab my phone and switch over to my calendar real quick and just look and pray for the appointments I having up. I have calls, meetings, maybe something that's happening that night, something like that. I may look quickly through my calendar just to pray for those specific times that I've got. The second section here, praying for others on the Lord's Day. I pray specifically for my local church, pastors, deacons, raising up of future leaders, members, and so on. And then I have there what you'll see at the bottom line is church, family, or individual of the day. And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So I'm praying for myself in this particular category, praying for others this day, the local church. And then I specifically pray for the Lord's Day, for the meetings and that kind of thing. So I want to make sure that I'm doing that every Sunday morning. So you basically, that's the framework, praying during the supplication, ACTS. Now supplication, what am I going to ask God for? I'm going to pray for my own spiritual growth. I'm going to pray for my local church in these specific ways. I'm not going to go through all these in that detail. Let me just read the headers. Monday, I pray for myself, need for wisdom, including my activities of the day, praying for others, praying specifically for my family. Now, again, that's not the only day I pray for my family. If somebody is on my heart of my family, I will go ahead and pray for them. But at least I know that one day a week, I'm not skipping that I am thinking and praying specifically for my family and spending more time doing that. Then Tuesday, praying for spiritual understanding. With a number of some points, that's one of my favorite categories. And then praying for others, praying for personal friends, praying for the persecuted church and their families, those under physical afflictions, those under spiritual trials, and then the church family individual of the day. So again, going through, you get the idea. There's Wednesday, there's Thursday. Thursday is the day that Michael particularly gets it, is one who I pray that God would protect those who protect us. He would heal those who heal us, praying for doctors and nurses and that kind of thing. So always seek to include a brother in there, praying for his safety and for his family. So that's under the category of nation, praying for a number of cultural issues there. Friday is the Lord's blessing and enablement, my roles in my family, my calling, vocation, evangelism, and then missions. That's the day I have listed on here, the Far East, the Hamiltons, Belgium, Zambia, Cambodia, and Turkey. And then Saturday for personal spiritual victory, and then for different world affairs, for the poor and hungry, fatherless and widows, for CCM, Christian Compassion Ministries in the Philippines, the oppressed and persecuted, those in authority, peace among the nations, current events and concerns. Okay, so that's my framework, Sunday through Saturday. Now again, at any time, if I'm just like, that's not where my heart is, I'm going to pray over here, but my default is I'm going to go here and use this regularly, unless the Lord leads me somewhere else. That way, and same thing, when I go to the gym, I have kind of my normal workout that I do. Sometimes I'm just like, man, I just want to spend extra time in cardio, so I'm going to spend 30 minutes on the stair step climber. And that's what I'll do. But if I don't know what I'm going to do, I would rather have my routine than do nothing and stand there at the gym and go, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. It's like, no, I've got my default. This is what I do. If I want to do something else, I feel more energetic. I want to do a couple of Tabatas. Then I go ahead and do them. But if I come in and don't feel that, then I'm going to go back to my default. And that's what this has become for me. Okay, so those are the days of the week. That's how I break that out. And then we have family individual prompts. When I come to pray the last thing I pray for others each day is a family individual prompt. Praying for individuals. So the family of the day, here's what I do. So I've got in the back of my Bible here that Jeff Rice covered for me. I've got a church directory. And what I do is I usually have, I don't have it in here right now, but I have a book dart bookmark, and I have a family of the day that I move every day or every time I pray. Sometimes I won't pray for a family of the day for whatever reason, and it'll stay there and it'll always be marked. And then the next time I come to pray, I just move it to the next family. Then I write new families, new individuals in the back. Oh, there's my book dart right there. So I prayed all the way through the directory and got to people who are regular visitors or aren't members. Aren't listed in the directory. So there's my book dart. I'll pray through those families and I'll move it right back. And that's, I try to take one every time I pray for a family. So these are the prompts, and I typically know enough, but this is for those of you who maybe there's a family and you don't know them. So what do I pray for them? I don't know anything about them. Well, here's some ideas. Praying for their relationship to God. I mean, you can pray that for others, can't you? You don't know what the relationship is or isn't, so you can pray things here like their spiritual disciplines, their time in the Word and prayer, increased love for God, joy and obedience, fear of the Lord, that they would bear gospel fruit for God's glory and help with particular besetting sins. You don't have to know what those are. Just, Lord, help them with those things that so easily beset them. For those who are under trials and afflictions, you can say, I don't know if they're going under trials or afflictions, but Lord, would you please help them if they are and be merciful to them. So I have those prompts for them for different relationships within the family. Again, just prompts. If you don't know what to pray for them, there's some ideas. Relationship to the church, and then their relationship in the world, their witness for Christ, excellence in what they do, and so on. And then I have a special request sheet. Because this is newly printed, I don't have anything written on here, but I have the directory of my Bible, and then I have a copy, or at least I did this morning, of the actual prayer guide. And so I've got the directory in the back, I've got that there. Then I also put in my Bible, just so you know, the community group notes for the week and the prayer for the families of the week, I put in my Bible. And then usually at the end of the Lord's Day, I'll take this, I'll fold that, because if I don't, it'll stick out. I fold that and I put that in there. And so I'm reviewing what we did on the Lord's Day. I'll go back and look at the hymns that we sang, think about those. I'll go back and pray again for the family of the week, that kind of thing. But this last page here on the guide is just a blank sheet. for you to write a special request down if you want to do that. Okay, so there's representation of the prayer guide, the directory. Now here, let me just pinch our consciences a little bit, which is in our church covenant, we promise that we will not neglect to pray for one another. Are you regularly praying for the church, this church? Are you neglecting to pray for one another regularly in some way? That there's an opportunity. I would pray for people that were maybe in the red zone. I would pray for people as a pastor that were going through particularly difficult things, but just praying for families regularly, I had a great difficulty with. This has been one way that's helped me to be sure to pray through the church directory. Okay, that's it. So that's my recommendation. There are the prayer guides up here. If you need have particular, well, it's we've got 5 minutes, right? Yes. So let's see what questions, comments you have. Yeah, I'm here. Or if you found something that's been particularly helpful to you, share that with us. We'd love to hear that. Yes, Stefania? Nice. Good. Amen. Yeah, if you're a singer, if you like songs, incorporate that into it. Yeah, Hunter. Say again? Yeah, good. Maybe you pray for them, Hunter's saying, and you go, you know, I don't really know how to pray for them. We should have them over. Or we should go out to Mitchell's Deli and have a sandwich and get to know one another. Ask them, I came to pray for you the other day, realized I don't know your family. How can we be praying for you? Good. Somebody else back here? Adam, yeah. Do my prayer at my study? I see. So here's Adam's asking, do I do my personal Bible reading before or after? How do I answer that? If it's Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I will tend to do it after because I feel like once I've done that, like I'm just sensitive to the word. I'm ready to hear the Lord through his word. It's less of my flesh and my intellectualism engaging the word than it is my intellect and my heart and my mind coming at that point. I find it's richer at that point. Sometimes I come and I just think, I'll say that's the default. But sometimes I'll sit down and like, I want to read first today. And so I'll do that. So you can see how slavish of a system this is. And I'm imposing this on the entire church. But one of the things I'm doing Monday through Thursday, because I go right into like multiple hours of sermon prep. And one of the things I'm trying to do is simplify my spiritual life. And one of the things we've done in public worship is we've tried to tie all of the songs, the scripture readings, everything together to bring about a theme leading to the sermon. And because I love knowledge and I love new information, I can be like a bee going from this flower to that flower and so on. So by the time I spend my prayer time, my communion with the Lord, I'm moving, I've structured my day where I'm immediately going into the study of Matthew. And so rather than reading a portion of scripture, getting my head, my heart in there, thinking about that, what I'm doing is I'm using the first part of that devotion or that sermon prep time to use that as time in the Word. And I remember pastors telling me that for years, like you must separate your preparation for the preaching of the Word from your own personal devotion. I'm saying, yes, sir, yeah, we'll do that. But I thought, I'm already there, and now what better way to study Scripture for the preaching of the Word than to study and read it devotionally? Like, now I'm coming at the Word not to control it and dissect it. I'm coming saying, speak, Lord. First of all, speak to me through this text. And so it's giving me extended time through the week to spend devotional time in the text and not just exegetical time. Does that make sense? So, but on days that I don't do that, man, I can't get out of the Psalms and Proverbs now. I just can't get out. I'm not that I want to, but I just love the Psalms. And just give me a Psalm, but I love Proverbs too. It's just such a different biblical genre. It's a long answer to your question, but you're used to them. Okay, 10:30. Let me know if you have any other questions. I've got, how many of these do we have? I think 40 or something, 30 or 40? We should have enough. So please come and get you one. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. And we pray that whatever tools you may be pleased to use, or Lord, even just a direct prompting of your Spirit, make us people of prayer, consistently communing with you, loving you, worshiping you, asking you for the things that we need. And we pray that our engagement in what we do as believers would not stop at the head, but would fill our head, our intellects, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength. May this, even if this just helps one person to be able to, over time, identify themselves as a man or woman of prayer, Lord, I will be grateful. If you would help multiple people, I would be grateful for that as well. So thank you for this time together. Help us, Lord, as we seek your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.